Okay. All right. So the pasuk starts off with Shuvi Yisrael, pasuk in Yesed Haftar. First pasuk, Shuvi Yisrael ad Ad Hashem Elokecha. Ki chashalta b'amaynecha. What's my, something wrong with
you?
Okay. Just keep going.
What?
Okay, yeah, hi. Okay? Okay? Yeah. Shuvi Yisrael ad Ad Hashem Elokecha. So the Ibn Ezra says, what does it mean, Ad Hashem Elokecha? So the Ibn Ezra says it means Ma'at Ma'at, Ad Hashem. Little by little, slowly, Ad Hashem. The Tam Ki Chashalta Ba'Vinecha. Okay. So there's a difference between Shuva Ad Hashem, and you have the Pasuk L'Shaftem Odainu Hashem. And there's a difference between Shuvo El Hashem. The next pasuk says Kachui Machem Dvarim v'Shuvu El Hashem. Okay. So there's a an intentional differentiation between the two tzivuyim of Tshuva. One is Adar Hashem Elokecha, one is El Hashem. What exactly is the difference between those two phrases? I will come back to that. Okay. But meantime, let's go to yesterday's parsha. Okay. On the surface, I want to mention one thing. That on the surface, it would seem to be against the Rambam, what the Ibn Ezra says. Because it says, Ad Hashem, it says, Ma'at Ma'at. The Rambam says... The Rambam Hilchos Tshuva says, not Ma'at Ma'at, he says, Hol Rishus, Perek Shvi, Hol Rishus Kolav Nesuna Lo, Kamar Shabiyanu, Yishtadel Odom Lasos Tshuva Ulesvados Bifiv Mechatov, Vilinor Kapov Mechatov. So it means, that means, Linor Kapov Mechatov means, instantaneously, quickly, in one activity, one action. And the Rambam later also emphasizes the immediacy of the effects of tshuva. In the Rambam and Halachah of Emesh Hayez Asoni Lefnei Hamakom Vayom Uov V'Nechmad Dikar V'Yedid. Okay, it's instantaneously. So that would seem to be against the Ibn Ezra, because the Ibn Ezra's Shuva Ad Hashem means Ma'at Ma'at, slowly, not in one big jump. Okay, so that has to be addressed. The difference. Okay, it seems on the surface like contradiction. But meantime, let's take up look at yesterday's parsha. Yesterday's parsha is an interesting parsha. Difficult parsha, but the parsha is about the last moments of Moshe Rabbeinu, last hours of Moshe Rabbeinu, and then the Torah tells us the last activities of his life. The last activities of a person's life is something which is really the most interesting part of the individual's life, his last moments on earth. I mean, shows you where this person's energies and efforts lie, and what he does in those last moments. Even the world is always interested in the last moments of an individual, last hours of Socrates. You know, I mean, people recognize, and it's true, of course, that the last moments of an individual somehow display or give insight into the personality of the objectives, the goals, of the person, insofar as it's possible for an ordinary person to participate in an understanding, some understanding of the individual. The Torah does the same thing. The Torah tells you, and the last moments of Moshe Rabbeinu and what he did. And it's interesting. And that's really in Vayelech. Vayelech, really, the Parsha Vayelech, that's what it is. It's the last moments of Moshe Rabbeinu and what he did in those last moments. So it's interesting. He says, Vayama Leim, Ben Meo Vesrim Shana Noche Yom Lo Uchalod Lotse Salavo. So he told them basically that his time is up. And then he said, that Hashem Omar Eli Lo Savar Sayad Nazar. You won't be able to cross the Yadin. And then he goes on and he says, that Hashem Lekech Ovel Fanecho, and Yeshmas Gamel Mufanecho, Yishnam Yeshua Ovel Fanecho, Yashet Dirasha. And it's interesting. He says, first he tells the people, V'osar Hashem Lohem Kasher Osel Asichon Ol Og, Malchei Amor La'Artzom, Asher Hishmir Osom. Nesomar Nesonam Arashim Lefnechem, Vasislam K'chol HaMitzvah Asher Tzivis Yeschem. So he wanted to make sure that with his patira, it should not be an end to the mission which he started. And then he said, Chizku V'imtzu, Altir V'altatzu Mepnehem. So the first thing he did was he told the people, Chizku V'imtzu. Then it says, V'ikra Moshe L'Yeshua V'yomer Elav La'enei Chol Yisrael. Again, Chazak V'emotz. Ki ata tovo asom azeh lo'aretz asher nishbara shel avos Moshe Islam. V'yato tanchilano asom. Then he says again that just like he told the people, Hashem Elokecha hu over lefonecha, that his Ashgacha will be with you, and he told Yeshua the same thing. But Hashem, hu ha'olech lefonecha, hu yeimach, lo yapcha v'lo yezvecha. Then, interesting, then he comes back again. I'm going to skip, because the next thing he does is gave Klal Yisrael the mitzvah of Hakel. Okay, the mitzvah of Hakel. And then it says, then the pasuk, V'yom Hashem Moshe, hein kovi yemech alamos, cross Yeshua, v'siyatzu bo'el moed v'atzavenu. Vayelach Moshe v'Yeshua v'yisyatzu bo'el moed. And then again, Vayam Hashem Moshe hin choshech v'maveisecho, and he told him, V'kom omazeh v'zona acharei elhei necha ha'aretz, asher v'Hashem v'kirbo, and he gave the prediction of what's going to happen to Klal Yisrael, terrible prediction. And then after that, he comes back, and he instructed him about the Shira, we'll come back to that. And then it says again, Vayetzav es Yeshua ben Nun, Vayomer Chazak ve'emotz, Ki ata tovi es b'nei Yisrael alorot shenishbati lam v'anochi eye imoch. Okay, same thing, Chazak ve'emotz v'anochi eye imoch. Those two ingredients are in each one of the three Chazak ve'emotz. So what is the, I just want to mention that it's not a redundancy, the three Chazak ve'emotz. What is Chazak ve'emotz really? What is Chazak ve'emotz? So there's a difference between Chazak and Emotz. Okay, Emotz really means the. Have you got a pasuk? You have an Eiv here. Yeah, pasuk in Eiv says V'yochei Tzadik Darko U'tahor Yadayim Yosef Ometz. Ometz. So what is Ometz? So Ometz really means is the. Is the Mitzuda says, Yosim tikvoso ba'atzlochas ha'nefesh. Okay, it means to say that a person puts his hope, his the forward movement of the soul. That's the tzaddik. That's what the pasuk says. The tzaddik has a different kind of a yochei tzaddik darko u'tahor yadayim Yosef ometz. So Yosef ometz means that Tahor Yadayim means that tzaddik has a different kind of courage and tikva. Courage is based upon a person's what a person foresees, where he's drawn, what draws his emotions, his nature, his essence, his mind, his whole essence. So it says, so that's what the pasuk says, that the tzaddik has a different kind of courage. He's drawn by different types of things that awaken the courage in him. You see, when his tikva, his hope, is of a different kind. He has a different vision, and different things make him, cause him to move. So tikva means that which is, which makes you move forward, which attracts the soul, you see. So, kaveh al Hashem, you see. So chazak v'yametz libecha, same thing. That's omets. The omets means where you, that's courage. Courage comes from what moves the person, what the person sees, what moves him. See, for the businessman, it's some type of a business deal. For the gibor, it's the opportunity for gvura. But for the tzaddik, it's a different thing. It's a vision of knowledge, and chokhmas Hashem moves him. It's a different kind of a, he's moved by something different. That's omets. Omets is what moves a person, what gives him courage. Courage means that which causes the abilities that he has, the faculties that he has, his resources to move into motion. That's omets. Chazak means something else. Chazak means to be hard, strong, which means to say that when a person is in a situation which is calm, everything is status quo, so he engages, his soul engages in its normal activity. For a Talmud Chacham, of course, it's the constant involvement and pursuit in Chachmah. That's what he's engaged in. But sometimes the Talmud Chacham has to move out of that sphere into a sphere of activity, as the situation demands. And in that sphere of activity, he has to summon up his energies. That's the omets. And he has to see the tikva, the where it's going and what is moving him in that direction. That's the imutz, omutz alev. That's one thing. So he has to have his emotions on track. That's the omutz. But also he has to be chazak, which means that there are always going to be in every endeavor, even though his emotions are on track and everything's in line, but there are things that come along that are distracting, and distasteful, disheartening, and he has to have the ability to be hard, to be insensitive to those things that are distracting him from the goal. That's really chazak ve'amatz. That's what it means, chazak ve'amatz.
Could it be the other way around, amatz v'chazak?
Yeah, good question. Chazak ve'amatz. Okay. So the there were three chazak v'amotzes, three times chazak v'amotz. The person must be hard. He must be tough. It's good why it's first chazak and then amotz, because chazak means that he has to generally get the personality into a certain state where he's insensitive to any distraction, and then he's ready to be propelled and moved by those forces which move him forward, you see. But first he has to realize that he has to remove the sensitivities to extraneous things must be removed. Then he can go on the goal. On the contrary, that's the correct way. Correct way is for first to be able to remove the negative energies, and then he has at his disposal all his energies, then it's v'amatz. Then he's able to move forward. So it's similar like in tefillah. In tefillah, Omer lefnei Hashem, what's the first thing he has to do? Is yosir kol ha-daigos, the Rambam says, all the distracting elements has to be removed. Then he can direct his energies to the Lifnei Hashem. You see. That's Chazak Vamatz. So it was three times. Three times they have Chazak Vamatz. Why three times? And the second time, the first time was to Klal Yisrael. The second time was Yoshua Le'ene Kol Yisrael. And the third time was HaKadosh Baruch Hu summoned Moshe and Yoshua. And then Moshe Rabbeinu told him Chazak v'amotz a third time. A different framework of Chazak v'amotz. The first one, of course, and it was done La'enei Kol Yisroel, was to distinguish between the mission of Klal Yisroel and the mission of Yoshua. Two different things. The Klal had one thing they had to overcome, a certain set of emotions that they had to overcome, and that they had to have the courage to fight in battle and to take over Eretz Yisrael. That was their mission. That's what they were charged with. But Yeshua was charged with something different, and that was to be a leader. Leader is a different thing, completely different phenomenon. Matter of fact, Chazal say that first Yeshua ben Nun knew he was a very nice person, Anov, and he wanted others to join together with him. We'll all run Klal Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu told him no. Hach, this Kenim, hach al kut, take a makel v'hach al kut kutam. That means hit them over the head and push them aside, and you're the leader. You're the leader. That's a difficult thing for a person to do. It's a totally different kind of a challenge. I mean, everybody wants to be nice, wants to be accepted, and there are other gedolim, other great people, and you want to include them, include everybody. Don't be exclusive. It's a difficult thing. If a person is a nice person, I mean, especially a midas hanivus, it's a difficult thing. He has to overcome that becomes a weakness. I mean, he has to be willing to hachal kot kodam, to be tough. They're not going to like it. Nobody likes to get hit over the head. So obviously the response is going to be a negative one. He has to be able to tolerate that. That's a difficult thing for a leader. Not just a leader, an arrogant leader, of course, we're not talking about it. That's the leaders of Ummah Zol. But our leaders are different kind of leaders. So their difficulty, their challenge is to be able to hachal kut kodam, and they're not going to like it. They're not going to be happy about it. They're not going to be friendly. They're going to be hurt. They're going to see that they're hurt. They're not happy. But you have to do it. That was Le'enei Kol Yisrael. He told them, he charged them with this mission of leadership, which is a completely different kind of a chizuk ve'imus that you need for that kind of a leadership. That's why Moshe, that's why you have two chazak ve'amotzes, because they're two separate shlichus, two separate types of shlichus, the shlichus of the am and the shlichus of the leader. Completely different. Different chazak ve'amotz, you see. The third one was the one that Moshe Rabbeinu, that was Benevuah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu summoned them together in Benevuah, and there Moshe Rabbeinu gave Yeshua ben Nun a personal instruction of Chazak V'Amotz, because that was something different. Because with us, leadership is worthless if in the process of leading, the individual's perfection is compromised in the slightest, you see. Then there's no leader. I mean, if the leader's perfection is compromised, all his activities of leadership are worthless. So a leader enters into a different kind of an nisayon. It's an nisayon that he, in the act of leadership, but it's also a great personal nisayon. Personal nisayon. And his relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his perfection is jeopardized because he has to move outside of the Dalet Amos Shel Halacha. He has to move into a different sphere, and it's different nisyonos that he faces, and the Beino Avein Hashem is part of the challenge, you see. So that was the third Chazak V'Amotz. The third Chazak V'Amotz. And Moshe Rabbeinu was telling Yeshua that you should know this is not just a challenge as a leader, but it's a different challenge as a person, as a yochid, lifnei Hashem. And Chazak V'Amotz, you have to be strong in facing that reality as well. You see, a different kind of a nisayon, different kind of a challenge. That's why you have all three. See, there's nothing superfluous here. Each one is a separate mission, a separate mandate, a separate tzivur. Okay.
Are they the same three in Yehoshua Aleph?
Thank you. Okay. So that's one element. That's one element. One of the events that took place in the last hours of Moshe Rabbeinu's existence. Okay, one of the things. What was the second thing he did? Actually, it was three things, really. And Vayelech is three things. That's one. The second thing he did was he gave them the Mitzvah Hakel. Mitzvah Hakel. What was Mitzvah Hakel? Mitzvah Hakel was really, as you know, if you study the halachas of Hakel, and the Rav many times he gave a shiurim on Hakel, but the basic idea of Hakel is a recreation of Maamar Har Sinai. That's what it is. It's a mitzvah that recreates the whole event of Sinai. The Limud HaTorah, Bifnei Kol Ha'om, Anoshim V'Noshim V'Taf. So the last mitzvah, next to the last mitzvah, the one of the last mitzvah that he gave, last one is Ksiv Sev Torah, but we'll get to that. But this mitzvah was the mitzvah, you see, which was his the essence of his mission, which was Sinai. That was the essence of his mission. That those last moments, he gave a mitzvah l'doros that recreates that great Maamar Har Sinai in the mitzvah of Hakel, in the halachic structure of the mitzvah of Hakel. Behind that halachic structure is Maamar Har Sinai all over again. That was the specific mitzvah. That's why I gave that mitzvah at that time. So you see, Moshe Rabbeinu in his last moments, was deeply engrossed in his mission and finishing off the threads of what he accomplished, what he did during his lifetime. You see, those two things. First of all, to make sure that the Yam goes forward after his patira. Then may of Esrim Shana Ochiyom La'uchal Lotzeis V'Lavo. Chazal say even b'machamta shel Torah. So the Ramban says why? He says that was a nes that nistemu mimenu mayonos haChochma. Why? So the Ramban says that Klal Yisrael shouldn't be upset that Yeshua is taking over. Interesting. But the whole purpose, his last moments, was to make sure that what he started should continue through Yeshua, and it shouldn't be tied to him alone. He is but he's gone, but the Yehadus moves on through Yeshua. That was the first thing. The second thing was to be kaveya mitzvah, which reenacts Maamar Har Sinai, which was the essence of his mission. Okay? And the third thing was Kisvu Lachemes Hashir Azos, because of the fact that Klal Yisrael was going to stray, and they were going to stray, and if they would stray, then the Torah would be lost. Everything would be gone. Again, everything that he had done would be lost forever. It would go on for a while, but it would be lost forever because they were going to encounter situations where they completely left the basic ideas of Kol HaTorah Kula, the basic ideas. And therefore, he had to make sure that even though that happens, that they do leave and they embrace corrupt ideas, ideas that are against the fundamentals of Yehadus, of Avodah Zarah, and wrong perceptions of God, and we'll see in Azinu the main ideas in Azinu that are the faulty ideas that are listed there, and then also he told them how the Gula will come about. Interesting, how the Gula will come about eventually, how the Gula will come about, and he said, but in spite of that. He said the Gula would never be successful if you didn't have written down Shir HaSazino. Shir HaSazino. And really, it seems from the Psukim, and even from the Halacha, that the purpose of Kisvu Lachem Es HaShir HaZos, the Mitzvah Ksiva Sefer Torah, was mandated because of HaZino. It's all because of HaZino, you see. All because of HaZino. Otherwise, I mean, Torah is the most important document that man has, but who says everybody has to write a Sefer Torah? So the mitzvah doesn't have to do with the significance of the Torah. The significance of the Torah stands by itself, apart. But the mitzvah was mandated because of the fact that in that Sefer Torah is Parshas Hazino. What does Ram say? In Kosvin as a Torah, Parshas Parshas. And therefore you have to write Kol HaTorah Kola. But the real reason you have to write is because of Hazino. An interesting thing. Because of Hazino. And it's really the Pasuk says it. The Pasuk says it. It's not a separate mitzvah Siva Sefer Torah. It says, you have Avoya Kisim Sen Al Soros Rabos Vitzoros V'onsa Ashiro Zos Lefonov La'eid Kilosi Shochach Mi Pizaro. And then later it says, "Vayitzav Moshe Salvim, Nos Aaron Brisad Hashem Lemor, Lo Koach a Sefer Torah Zeh, V'Samtem Oso Mitzad Aaron Brisad Hashem Alekechem, V'Hoy Hashem B'Chol Eid." That's the purpose. Ki Enochi Yedati Esmerichu Esopcha Kosher. So, and then Akilu Elias calls Zikne Shiftechem Shadrechem, Vadav was named Esa Dvarim Eilu Voida Bamas Shemayim Vesoretz. Ki Yedati Echrei Mosi Kashchis Tashchisun Vesatim in Aderech Shatzivis Yeschem. The Koros Eschem Aro Bachar Sayam Kisasas Rabbein at Hashem Lachisav Masi Lechem. So that was an introduction to all Parshas Hazino. So everything revolves around Parshas Hazino. So apparently, without Parshas Hazino, everything that took place, that will take place, would not be enough. But what will really be the thing that saves Klal Yisrael? What saves Klal Yisrael is only Parshas Hazino. It's an amazing thing. Why? Because they'll read in the Parsha, and they'll see everything that was predicted that took place exactly, and then they'll realize what the Kabbalah of Malchus Shemayim is, and Kabbalah Satara, and that Shira will be, the Aedis of that Shira will be what causes Klal Yisrael to embrace Torah. It's an interesting thing. That's what the Pesukim say. It's an interesting thing. That Shira, Hazino, Shira Hazino. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu was engaged in. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu was engaged in. Those three things. One is to summon Yeshua, summon the Am, and two, the mitzvah which reenacts Sinai, and three, the Shira L'Doros that will guarantee that Klal Yisrael will remain with the Torah, will come back to the Torah, will embrace the Torah. So really it's an interesting thing. Even though Moshe Rabbeinu was Niftar, everything is totally in Moshe Rabbeinu. It's an amazing thing. Even Lacha P'tirasa. Even Lacha P'tirasa. That Kol HaTorah Kula is Al-Yedei Moshe Rabbeinu. And even the fact that Klal Yisrael eventually returns the Gula Asido only because of Moshe Rabbeinu's Torah. Because Saras Moshe, because Parshas Hazino. So it's an amazing thing. And that's what he did. That's what he did. The last hours of his life, he guaranteed the entire future of Torah. His activities, the actions that he did, went beyond his lifespan into the eternity of Klal Yisrael. It's an amazing thing. That's really the Parsha Vayelech. That's the Parsha Vayelech. But the interesting is, I just want to mention that. Interesting is. Interesting is Parshas Hazino. In Parshas Hazino, I mean, what are the elements? The elements that are depicted for us in Parshas Hazino. That stand out. I mean, that stand out for us in terms of Divrei Musar. In terms of Divrei Musar and in terms of prediction for the future. It's very interesting. In terms of Divrei Musar, it seems that there is one chait. I mentioned this before, but I'll mention it again. There's one chait that the Torah emphasizes. And that is the chait that Shiches lo bonav Moma. And that's the Ramban says. That the chait that people don't understand. They don't understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and their relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is on an infantile level. He says, "In Ken Yomar Kosev Hazos, Hal Ad Hashem Tigmul Hazos, Am Nova V'lo Chacham." He says, "Hazos Tigmul Hashem, Al Atova Shosim Mochem." He says, "V'lo Chacham Ladas, Kila Nafsham, Gemalu Harazos, Gamlu Harazos, Lo Lokel, Kenyan Shenemar, in Chotaso Matifobo." Im tzedakta matitim lo. Okay, that's the pasuk that you say in Nila, that im yitzdak mayitim lo. So it seems that's the big chait really. Allah Hashem tigmul hazos, that people think that when they're doing mitzvahs, that somehow or other they're doing it for God, that they're helping God in some manner. That is the avera. That is the main avaria points out. That distortion of reality, that mistake, Halad Hashem Tigmul Hazos, they don't realize that mistake means that you're worshiping God on the infantile, on that infantile plane. That's the worst avera. That is really the avera, the main avera that he depicts in Shir HaZinah. It's an amazing thing, interesting thing. Something which an ordinary person, you want to point to avera, so he wouldn't point to that. He's davening, he's doing mitzvahs, it looks very good. But there's one thing very wrong, that in everything he does, he has this feeling that somehow or other he's helping God. Halad Hashem Tigmul Hazos, everything is worthless. Everything is worthless. He doesn't realize it's pageya in Yediyas Hashem, and it's pageya in his perfection completely. It's not possible to have perfection with such a type of avod. That's the main avera that Moshe Rabbeinu points out. Halad Hashem Tigmul Hazos, the main avera, comes back again later. That same similar idea comes back again later. I'm talking about Ramban. That's the main of it. Now, it comes back again later. See, when it says later, when it mentions later at the end, it mentions the Geula. At the end of the Ramban. Is that a Ramban? In Kenya, because it. The Ramban is on Pasuk Opa, Pasuk Vav. Yeah, Pasuk Vav. Am Novo V'lo Chacham. That is the Avera. The Avera is to be an Am Novo V'lo Chacham. That's the key. That's the key critique of Klal Yisrael. Am Novo V'lo Chacham. They don't have any Chachma in Avodas Hashem. In the Avodas Hashem, they have stupidity. Stupid ideas. And if they have stupid ideas in the Avodas Hashem, everything is worthless. It's back to Avodah Zarah. It's back to Avodah, and really that's what the pasuk depicts, the psukim depict. First, it starts off with that Halad Hashem Tigmul Hazos, but then it shows you a descent into primitive idolatry, primitive Avodah Zarah, which shows you that idea, if a person worships God in that manner, he is going to have to descend into Avodah Zarah. It's the beginning of a big descent. The wrong, not serving God with chokhmah. Am Novo V'lo Chacham, Halad Hashem Tigmul Hazos. That's the beginning. The end is Avodah Zarah. And the end is depicted over here, right before the Geula. It says, Ki Yodin, Pasuk in the end, Ki Yodin Ad Hashem Amo V'al Avodav Yisnechom, Ki Yire Ka'oz Las Yod, V'Efes Otzer V'Ozov. I mean, there'll come a time when there'll be very, very few people left that really are engaged properly in Avodas Hashem. Then it says, V'omar e'elohemo tzur chasoyuvo. Says Rashi, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, he says to Klal Yisrael, e'elohemo, where is your God? Tzur chasoyuvo, the one that you put your faith in. And it continues, Asher chelev zvachemo yochelu yishtu yeinesichon. The ones that you sacrificed your karbonos to, and you fed those gods the Yochelev, and you gave them to drink your wine. And then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yakumu v'yazruchem, yelechem sisra. Let them come and help you. So you see again the depiction of the primitive form of worship, which is that they try to appease the gods. You see, they believe that they're doing something for the gods. That's the core of Avodah Zarah. That's the core of Avodah Zarah. That idea, that method of worship is at the root of all Avodah Zarah. And if that method, that they think that they're satisfying the gods with the karbonos and with their wine, that idea, that primitive notion is at the root of all Avodah Zarah. And if that method is used in the service of God, then it's worthless, and it simply is one step away. Next step is Avodah Zarah. Because Am Novo La Chacham means they don't serve God with wisdom and with knowledge and with Chachma. You cannot, there's no way, there's no religiosity, no kind of emotional religiosity that an individual can partake of that will be of any value other than Chachma. Am Novo V'locha must be based on Chachma and Chachmas Hashem. And if you have a distortion in the idea of God, if you think that somehow you're benefiting Him, that's the Musar of Azino. Then everything is worthless. Everything is Avodah Zarah. Next step is Ashechel Zochem Yochel Yishtu Yenisuchem. Yakumu V'yazruchem, that's what it's like. Yakumu V'yazruchem Yehi Aleichem Sisra. See if they can help you. The next pasuk is Ru'u Atah. Ki Ani Anihu. Ve'en Elohim Imadi. Ani Yomas V'achiyah. Machatzi V'ani Yepa. Ve'en Miyadi Matzil. There's no escape. So what does the pasuk say? What is the depiction La'asid Lavo? It's very interesting. The depiction La'asid Lavo is that when will the Geula, how will the Geula take place? And it's and we know very little, like the Rambam says, we know very little about the Geula. But here certain things are told, certain elements are given to us through the Torah itself. It seems what the Psukim are saying is that Klal Yisrael will reach a point where they realize that all the efforts that they've made in the other direction, in the direction away from God, are all fruitless, worthless. So that's a Yakum ve'yazuchim yalechem sisra. Let those things help you. And Klal Yisrael will realize Re'u Ata ki ani anihu, that only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's nothing else. So it means that the nation will eventually degenerate into a state in which they turn seek Avodah Zarah, and then they'll realize that this is all fruitless, this accomplishes nothing, and then ki yodin ad Hashem amo, because God will be down the nation, and he'll be down the rest of the world, you see? And that's a significant part of the Azino. Ki esol shamayim yodi, v'amarti chayenoch le'olam, means HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nishba. It means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is nishba, that the Rishoyim eventually will receive their just reward. That's a sure. That eventually they will receive their din, and then Klal Yisrael will see that all the efforts that they made were fruitless, and is only a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's really the depiction of the Nevuah. It's very, 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 very interesting. Very interesting. There's a Ramban, an interesting Ramban here. The Ramban says an unbelievable thing. Ramban says like this. The Ramban is on the Ashbisa Me'enosh Zichron. Pasuk Chavav. Amarti afehem. Afehem means I'll destroy them. Okay? Efo some, a different pshat. Okay, but it means basically the Midas Adin will be enacted against Klal Yisrael. So it says, Ashbiso me'enosh zichrom. Okay, that no one will recognize them. Ashbiso me'enosh zichrom means they won't be recognized. That's what it means. Zichron means the their existence will be nothing. Hashbisa. So the Ramban says, Golusenu beina ovde kachovim, anachnu Yehudo ubinyamin. She'ein lanu zecher ba'amin. We don't have any zecher among the nations. V'lo nechshav la'am v'uma klal. We're not considered a nation. Interesting. Not considered a nation. The world can't identify us. What are we? Not a nation. Nation, a creed. We have no identity. V'ine yomar kosov. Ki hoya b'midas hadin. The midas hadin demanded liyosenu kein b'golos la'olo. That we should always remain in golos. That's the midas hadin. Lule kas oyev. Because the pasuk says, this is another element here in Azinu. Very interesting element. Lule kas oyev ogor penyinakrutz aremu. That the pasuk says that if it weren't for the goyim, we would never be saved. Mm-hmm. Why? But the goyim are going to make a mistake when they see the downfall of Klal Yisrael. So they're going to think it's their gods that did it. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that because of their mistake, we are saved. It's an amazing thing. That's the only reason. The only reason. Amazing. Ramban spells it out vividly. He says like this. He says, Lule kas oyev, v'yorezeki begolusenu atah. He says, this shows you that now, a golus that we're in now, tomos chusavos. We don't have any more chusavos, he says. V'ein lanu hatzlach, miyad amen. We have nothing to hang on, to have hatzlacha from the hands of the guy. An amazing thing. I want you to understand something about that. That the whole the Nitzavim, Parshas Nitzavim before, and the whole idea of Kabbalah Satara Beshvua Ba'ola. Beshvua u Ba'ola. Beshvua means that it reflects Amitas HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay? And Ba'ola means a curse if you don't. Now what does it mean a curse if you don't? Chazal say. What it means is like this. That once you have this, you see, once we have the Torah, it's a double-edged sword. It means to say we are placed by the Torah in a very vulnerable position because of the Torah, because of Sinai Shemi, Shom Yodah, Sin Alumos Allah. And therefore, without the Ashgacha, we're goners. We're goners. That's really what the Pasuk depicts in Vayelech also. The Pasuk says that the... Okay, so the pasuk depicts the most horrible things, and the why, but it doesn't say because God is going to do those things. No, astira fanai mehem. It means once the ashgacha is removed, once we have Sinai, that's Kabbalah Satara ba'olo b'shur. That's what it means. It means to say that's it. It means once we are in this position, we placed ourselves in a very, very vulnerable spot because the jealousy, the hatred, the sinah that we engender because of our very existence, you see. And even people are ignorant, but it filters down. Somehow, the ideas don't filter down, but that we have something that's real filters down and creates a tremendous, tremendous sin. And because of that, we're very vulnerable. And therefore, without Ashgacha, we simply can't make it. Impossible. Cannot make it. All those ideas that the secular Zionists have, all Navi says openly, that if they think they're going to be another nation, Navi says, never, never will happen. Cannot be. So the vulnerability we have, you see, that's the Allah. And the only way out is Kiyum HaShvua. That's the only way. It's a steer point. That's why when you look at the Holocaust, which became something that people can't talk about, and I'm not saying I blame them, I mean, but the fact is we have to look at reality. Reality is that if we do, that our choice is one thing. Either we keep the Torah, Kitikuno, or else once the Ashgacha is removed, the most horrible things will follow. And that's Pesukim in the Torah. That's it. We're, the acceptance of the Torah was not just good. It was two-sided. Good, great, bad, horrible. You see? That's the that's Ba'ala B'Shua. That's Kabbalah Ba'ala B'Shua. Just saying. So, Astira, that's the pasuk. Astira Panei Mehem. You have again that's Astira Panei Mehem. So what the Ramban is saying is as follows. So Ramban says that now, that's what the pasuk says. Amazing pasuk. Luye kas oye vagor. It means that our geula is not contingent on us. Tomos chosovos. Gone. Vein lano hatzlach miyada amen. Only rock bavur shemo. Only because of the Shem Hashem. Ke'inyin shenema b'yecheskel. I think we mentioned this pasuk before. V'kibatzti eschem min ha'rotzos, ha'shen ufutzosam shom. V'nekdashti bochem l'enei ha'goyim, v'yedatem ki'enei reshem. Yecheskel spells it out. Ba'asosi eschem l'man shmi. Lo kidachechem ha'royim kalulosechem. Ha'nishchosos beis Yisrael. V'chein emarod, v'as l'man shmi. L'vilti hochel l'enei ha'goyim. So you see, it's only because of the goyim, basically, that we can expect a geula. Not because of their righteousness, but because of their horrible sinfulness that we expect a geula. That's what the Ramban is saying. Amazing Ramban. He says, "Ulekach yizkir Moshe b'tfilaso v'omro agoyim asher shomu shimach alemar." That's what Moshe Rabbeinu's whole tefillah was. That's the whole tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Not a tefillah that would be appealing to an ordinary person. Very, very deep tefillah. V'Hashem Yisbarach, he says, Hodala baza. V'yomar Hashem salachti kidvarecho. Okay, this is correct. He was right. V'atam b'tayna azos, he says, and the reason for this taina, einenu kirotze laharos kocho bein sonov. It's not because God wants to show his koch among his enemies. He says, why? Ki kol ha'goyim ke'ayin negdo. All these nations are like nothing before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki efes me efes v'so nechshevo lo. They're absolutely worthless and nothing. Okay? Again, a person shouldn't think that this is some way, like the Ramban said, Hashem, it's in somehow or other that this benefit... A person imagine that this somehow is for God. No, that's nonsense. Ki kol ha'goyim ka'ayin negdo, me'efes v'sol nechshevo lo. Aval, he says, what is the real reason? Hashem bora sa'odom b'tachtonim sheyakir es boro. The purpose of God's creation is that man should be makah, should recognize God. V'yoda l'shmo. V'shomar shus b'yodo. V'samar shus b'yodo l'horo l'hetiv. The kasher chotu britzonom, the kofru bo kulam. He says, when they all took the bechira and chose the wrong way, lo nisharak omazeh. The only thing was left, this little remnant, was this nation, lishmo. Ufirsem bohem haosos vamosem, kihu elkei holahim vadoni adonim, v'no debazeh lechol ha'amim, is known to all the nations. You see, it's amazing. I mean, the Ramban says later, he says, everything that you have here, you see how it transpired, amazingly. He says, that's Vayabachal Aid. And I saw one psychologist picked it up, one psychoanalyst. He says, no one seems to be disturbed by this. But he says, how could a person live so many thousand years ago, and everything he says happens exactly, unfolds exactly like he predicts, says, it's something very strange here. Yeah, that's Vayabachal Aid. He says, if Klal Yisrael will go under, he says, Yishkechu amim es osiosov es masov. He says, V'lo yisuper od bohem. Vim odom yaskir kain, yachshvu ki hoya koach mikochos hamazolos v'hakochovim. He says, and people will start, if they remember the events, they'll attribute it to the stars. He says, V'hine tiye kavona sabriya bo'odom b'telo legamri. He says, so the whole kavona sabriya will become bottle. He says, that's what would happen. Shelo yisho'er b'hem yodeyaz boro. There will not be a single person left that knows God. Rak machis lefonov. Valkein roi midino rotzon, shehoyo bebriya sa olam, שיהיה רצון מלפניו להוקים לו לעם כל היומים, כי הם הקרובים אליו היודעים עשו מכל העמים, וזה טעם כי יודעין על השם עמו ועל עבודיו ישנחם, שיזכור השם ברחמים, כי הם עמו מעוז, ויזכור כי הם עבודיו שעמדו לו בגולוס, כעבודים לסבול הצורס והשיבור הקיני שנאמר, ביום האח עמי הם הבונים לא ישקרו. Okay, that's Ramban basically. So Ramban, I mean, he doesn't really, I mean, he amplifies beautifully, but it's the psukim, it's psukim. He's defining the psukim. So it means to say what the Ramban is saying is that that our only are the only reason that we continue to exist in this golus is only because of Kiddush Hashem and because of the God's will in the creation. That's it. That's the whole thing. Simply God's will. If this wouldn't happen, then the whole creation would be the God's creation, insofar as Adam is concerned, would be batlam avatl. Batlam avatl. And that's why we can count on the Gula. It's an amazing thing. And basically it's Yecheskel. Yecheskel says it clearly. Clearly. Ramban says, Tomas chosavas. That's it. Because of us, nothing. So it's a that's the reality that's depicted in Parshas and Parshas Avinu. So that means that our tefillos on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim, I mean, should be in line with reality. Tefillos on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippurim should be in line with that reality, with the understanding of that reality. But what is demanded over here? You see, what is demanded in tshuva? What is demanded in tshuva is, you see, and that's what I wanted to mention. The concept of tshuva ad areshem alekecha and kechui mochem dvarim v'shuvu el areshem. See, the Navi really depicts what tshuva is all about. Tells us about tshuva. In those two psukim, you have the central ideas, the two themes of tshuva. One is Shuva Yisrael Adad Hashem Alekecha, and the other one is Kuy Machem Dvarim V'Shuva L'Hashem. What is Pshuta Shem Mikra? Kuy Machem Dvarim V'Shuva L'Hashem means that you can't be Shuva L'Hashem with any kind of actions, with kabonais, with any kind of deeds. That's not going to do it. It's Kuy Machem Dvarim. It must be through Chachma, through Dibor. V'Shuva L'Hashem. Imroelov Kaltisa Avon. Kaltisa Avon means that Kadosh Baruch Hu should be no say all Avon. The Kachtov, Rashi says, what's for Kachtov? V'lamdenu derech tov. Lamdenu derech tov. V'neshalma parim svasenu. That the Kabbonis should be from an understanding of the Kabbonis, proper understanding of the Kabbonis. Those are the real Kabbonis. The Kabbonis Alev. And then the Navi says, very similar to Azinu, Ashur lo yoshienu. Ashur, we cannot rely on Ashur. It means the people that put their faith in Ashur, they come to tshuva. In tshuva, if you think that there's any other mode of salvation, that's not true. That's not true. It's Ashur lo yoshienu al sus lo nirkov v'lo nomar od Eloheinu l'masa yodeinu. V'lo nomar od Eloheinu l'masa yodeinu. That's a very, very important phrase. You see, what it means is like this, because you see, there's one thing that has to be understood. The depiction of the Kates is spelled out in Shira Sazinu. That's really the Shira of the Ashgacha, but the depiction of the Kates is V'omar Eloheimo Tzur Chosoyuvo Ashechelav Zvochemo Yochelu Yishtu Yenisichom. So that really is on a primitive level, I understand that. There's Kol HaTorah Kula is a document which counters one thing, Avodah Zarah. Okay? But it counters it in both forms that it has. One form is the gross primitive form, you see, which prevailed to a greater degree years ago. But Chazal show how that particular form came to an end because of psychological reasons. But the Yetzer Hara of Avodah Zarah never came to an end, and it continues to express itself in modern, sophisticated fashion. So you have to understand the Pasuk mentions it in the gross form because it's for all Doros, and the prior Doros, and the greatest danger, of course, is well, I wouldn't say the greatest danger. I don't know which is the greatest danger. All of Avodah Zarah is the same danger. Can't differentiate. So the danger of Avodah Zarah, but the Pasuk mentions it in its full form, which is the primitive form. So you have to understand, you have to retranslate the primitive into the modern. You know what I mean? Because the Pasuk speaking about now, so it's speaking about every door. So now as well. So what does it mean? We understand that in the primitive person sacrifices to his God, and he thinks he's propitiating the gods, as they say. So we understand that. How is that translated into the modern Avodah Zarah? Modern Avodah Zarah. But the Navi really tells you. The Navi tells you that in the worship of those gods is the worship of the self. So it means you're sanctifying your action, your Maisiya Dayan. That really is the underlying root of the Avodah Zarah, And that is true in the modern form as well as in the primitive form. So in the modern form, it's Maisiya Dayanu doesn't have to be a primitive idol. And Maisiya Dayanu is a mistaken ideal, but the point is an ideal, a false idea is Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah, an atheist is just as much an Ovid Avodah Zarah as one who has one who bows down to an idol. Same thing. There's no difference. The mistaken idea about God is exactly the same. Doesn't make any. He's just equally as far. So the equally as distant. So it means to say that in setting up these ideals, which are the person's maisei adayim, what the person does is he sacrifices. He has to sacrifice. He has to sacrifice to those maisei adayim. There is no such thing as an ideal without sacrifice. Every ideal demands a sacrifice on the part of the person, and he sacrifices to that ideal, and that's. He sacrifices to that which he produced by his own hands, you see. And that will be the realization loss of love, that all that effort, all that energy, everything he did, absolutely futile, worthless. That realization, combined with the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will manifest his mishpat in the world, will cause the people to realize, ani anihu, ve'im miyadi matzil. There is no way to escape. This is the only reality. That's basically what the pasuk depicts. But it's interesting. That all that will only work if the shira is written down and they could look at the shira. Why? Because no matter how much mishpat we would see in the world, it wouldn't do a thing. If there's no access to the chachma behind everything that we live through as an am, there's no would be worthless, would be meaningless. So the only hope is the event is important. Everybody concentrates on the event. When is Mashiach going to come? When are we going to see Mishpat Hashem? you have to be careful about Mishpat. I mean, but anyways, the thing is that the emphasis is misplaced, because the emphasis is on something cataclysmic that they're looking forward to with their fantasy and their imagination. But the Torah tells you exactly the opposite, because with all ki yodan et Hashem amo and li nakam v'shileim leistam ki karav yom edom v'chashasim, all the psukim that depict the din, the eventual din, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu is nishba that the rishay umos olam will receive their onesh, It will happen, absolutely, must happen, but in spite of all of that, it's all worthless. If the Shira wasn't written down by Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah, and you don't have the Shira, for unsa Shira zos b'am le'ed, ki lo si shachach mi pizaram. They have to learn. The events are nothing. The events are only a stimulus. But without the limud of the parsha and seeing where they strayed, how they lost the chachmas Hashem, and they served God without chachma, with tipshus, I'm novel. If they don't see that, then everything is worthless. There is no goal. There's no goal. That's the legacy of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the legacy of the Torah, you see. But an interesting thing is, you see, and that's why in tshuva, really, getting back to tshuva, in tshuva you have a twofold phenomenon in tshuva. You see, there's klui machem dvarim v'shuvu el ad Hashem, and then there's shuva Yisrael ad Hashem alekecha. See, the Rambam really in Hilchas Tshuva, in Perek Zion, organizes these ideas. First, he says a person must do tshuva. You see, Ha'el Rishiskol and the Sinalo, Kemosh Banishtal and Lasu, Velisvados Befiv Mechatov, Velinor Kapov Mechatov. Okay. Then he goes through the tshuva. Then he says like this: Gedola tshuva Shemakareves Adam Lashchino, Shenema, Shuv Yisrael Ad Hashem Alekecha, Venema. Veloshaftem odain umashem. Ad is an important word. Okay? And then he says, Venemam Toshiv Yisrael Numar Hashem Eli Toshiv. Klomam Tachzor Betshuva Bitidbok. Bitidbok. Okay, interesting phrase, Bitidbok. What does it mean, Bitidbok? Chazal say on the contrary, that a vos sidbok, what kind of a mitzvah? The chiyef shalom le David Veshchina is a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Eisha. Eish ochlo. So it's not possible. So I say no. It means the method is sutamid chachamim. So what it, here it says be tidbuk. Interesting. Use that word be tidbuk. You see, there's a very deep idea here in tshuva. Deep idea there's in tshuva. We'll try to explain. See, tshuva on the one hand is a chiyuv. It's a chiyuv for a person to lashuv, and tshuva is a rational thing also. Because the fact that tshuva is based upon the structure of the human psyche, that a person can do that. That a person is distracted when he's in action, the instincts are at play, and then later he has the ability to withdraw, to recoil, and to rethink where the instincts aren't acting on him with the same force of the stimulus, and he could retrace his steps and react them in his mind and remove himself from the defect that the first activity caused. That is simply a logical phenomenon, because that's the way man is structured. You don't need any psukim for that. Okay, you don't need any psukim for that. But it would appear that you do need psukim for tshuva, because we say that the soda tshuva was given to Moshe Rabbeinu on Maimon Har Sinai, and then he came down to Yom Kippurim, and it was megala the soda tshuva to Klal Yisrael. So apparently there's more to tshuva than just a psychological phenomenon. There's something deeper there, something different there. See, what is that? What is that something different? A philosopher would be finished. That's it. You know the correct philosophy. You have to understand the psyche. You understand the human being. So he can retrace his steps. And when he retraces his steps, he undoes all the harm that his previous steps caused. That's a logical thing. But there's something far deeper here. There's something far deeper here. You see, the tshuva is only the tshuva on a chet. Is a first step. What is the tshuva on a chait? The tshuva on a chait is like the Rambam says, it must be lifnei Hashem. Must be lifnei Hashem. Which halacha really emphasizes the lifnei Hashem more than anything else, I think, is the halacha in the Rambam. He says in Perek Sheni, halacha hei. He says, v'shevach gadol l'shov. It's a big shevach for the person of shev. She is vade barabim. He should publicly do tshuva. The yodia pshav lahem umegala avero shebeino levein chavero lacherem v'omol lahem omnam chatasi leploni vasisi lo kach v'kach v'arini hayom shavam esnachem. He has to publicly declare it. V'chol ha'misgoeh, any person that's haughty, v'eino modia, Elo machasep shov ein shuvas agmor. This shuva is not gemor. Shenemar machasep shov lo yatzliach. Okay. Then he goes on. Bamed varmam umaver shabein adam lachaveiro. Avo baver shabein adam lamakam ein etzorach lafarsem atzmo. Vazas panam hilom gilom. Because sometimes it's not appropriate to do it. Okay. Elo shov lifnei hakel baruchu. He's shov lifnei hakel. That means the Rambam emphasized lifnei hakel. It means that God is the only reality when he's a shov. No one else matters. He can't enact it by demonstrating that no one means anything to him, but he could do it privately, you see. He says, okay. Now to arrive it says, if everybody knows he did the avera already, so then he says, arrive it says, afa pisha'ina mim chavero. Shekemoshin is parsmo achet. If the chet was already publicly known, kach tzarch lefarsem ha'tshuva, and the Ravid adds two words, v'yizbayesh barabim, should be publicly embarrassed. Amazing Ravid. Why must he suffer the public abuse? The answer is because as long as the public means something to him, he's not a shov lefnei hakel. That's what it means. Shov lefnei hakel means that there's only hakel. Nobody else matters. You see? Even though he's embarrassed, he's degraded, doesn't mean a thing to him. The only thing is that you can't, on certain averis, it's not appropriate to tell the rabbin because it's azus. How could you say that? Because it lacks in kvod shamayim. So he encounters another problem of kvod shamayim, and he can't, and that takes precedence over his tshuva. So he can't do it. So then he can only be shov lefnei hakel. You see, he's stuck because we have certain priorities. But the essence, that's the essence of tshuva. He is bayish barab. That's what the rabbi says. It means to say that what the public thinks of him is meaningless. That's real tshuva. So the maaseh hatshuva brings a person lefnei hakel. Brings a person into the level of Neokel. Once he's lefnei hakel, once he's there, you see, then he gets swept up under the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Rambam means. See, the Rambam says, G'dola tshuva shemekareves es adam l'shchino shenema shuvi yisrael ad ad Hashem alekecha. What does it mean? It means that this process, which he does with specific averos, is something that places before him, if he does it properly, it places before him not the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the only reality. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only reality, you see. Once that happens, then he's ready for another stage in the personality that he moves, and that's what the Ibn Ezra means, ma'at ma'at. And that's the answer to the stira. The Rambam, you know, kap of mechatov, it means suddenly if a person awakens up and he sees that his life is wasteful and his whole essence is worthless. So you know, kap of mechatov, immediately. It says it can be done in 1 minute, you see. Emesh, overnight, he's changed. But ad ad Hashem alekecha, that's a long, slow process. That's a different kind of a process, because that requires chokhma, tvuna. You can't do it in a moment. It requires a very long trip, a very difficult, arduous course, and requires tremendous control over a person's emotions, knowledge of himself, tremendous knowledge of his psyche, of himself, knowledge of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yedias Hashem, insofar as man is able to, Yedias HaTorah, Chachmas HaTorah, everything requires. That's mat. That's what the Ibn Ezra says. That can't be quick. If that's quick, there's something wrong. If a person feels that he suddenly, overnight, he's changed, now he's already, by the Kisei HaKavod, he's making a big mistake. That's not possible. Ad ad Hashem alekecha is mat. So you see that there are two phases, there are two aspects to tshuva. One is the maaseh hatshuva. That's kachun. That's what the Navi says really. Shuv Yisrael, ad ad Hashem alekecha. That's where you should really be. How do you do it? Kechu imachem dvarim v'shuvu el Hashem imro elav, and he gives the recipe for the formula for the tshuva. The neshama paras vaseinu kechu imachem dvarim asher lo yishenu. Nobody is nobody else that can help us. And the whole system he gives. That's the maisei tshuva. What's the objective? Ad Hashem alakecha, ad kisei hakavod. That's what it means. You see. So where does that really lead a person? I'll tell you where it leads a person. It leads a person to be able to fulfill what the Ramban says. What the Ramban says, what the Torah says. Ramban expresses it very, very beautifully. Torah just says it in a couple of psukim. Ramban expands and gives us the necessary limud. But what is that? What is that? I'll tell you what it is. What it means is like this. That why should we really, so it comes out when we're spalling Rosh Hashanah and Yom HaKippurim, so the tefillah isn't something that really is so desirable. I mean, what do we care? Okay, so everything boils down to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, and his meisim cannot become batlam of batl. Okay, how does that really move us? How does that move us? I mean, we have to relate to that. How does it move us? It only moves us if it's Shuvi Yisrael Adar Hashem Alekecha. If the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is our reality, then we're moved. You see, then we're moved. And that really, that's Shuvi Yisrael Adar Hashem Alekecha. The real Oved Hashem is the one that is tied to the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His Ratzon, which means that's the reality that moves him, the Ratzon Hashem, you see. That's a difficult stage. That's a high level. Shuv Yisrael Adar Hashem Alekecha. See, that's what the Ramban is saying, really. And that's why our tefillis, the Maisa Tshuva that we do, starts us on the path, mat, on the path to Adar Hashem Alekecha. And then we could really understand the tefillah, you see, the tefillah, that God's reality should be something that we are under, and we recognize this is the only reality, and therefore we want this reality. You see, that's Shuvi Yisrael Adar Hashem Alekecha. There's one more aspect of tshuva that is a significant one, and
Rabbi,
that is, yes.
I missed. Can you clarify the B Sid Buck?
Yeah, I'm about to do that.
Okay.
Okay, the third aspect is, that's the third aspect, those two aspects are what the Rambam mentions first in the Maisei HaTshuva, as I said. Secondly, in the fact that Shuv Yisrael Adar Hashem Alekecha, V'lo Shavtem Odai, and then the next one, Im Toshuv Yisrael Numa Hashem Elai Toshuv Klomar, Im Tachzor B'Tshuva B'Tidbak. What does it mean, B'Tidbak? B'Tidbak means like this. It means, and that's the Sod HaTshuva that Moshe Rabbeinu received on Sinai. What did Moshe Rabbeinu receive on Sinai? He received something that no human being could ever know from his own intelligence. Not possible, only through Nevuah. What was the Nevuah? The Nevuah was, what is the closeness or the Hashgachas Hashem to people? You see, because that's something that to our minds doesn't make any sense. But that's wrong. That's wrong. It's a nice idea, but it's wrong. So the only way we could know the truth of what our relationship is, how we're bound up in the Ashgacha, the Shia, what is our status, you see. So that's what he says. Elai Toshuv. That it's not in an insignificant way. It's B'Tidbak. It means a very close hashgacha, a very close hashgacha, and that's the Ratzon Hashem. That's something that Moshe Rabbeinu understood in his Mari Nevuah, Hashem Hashem Kel Racham Achanan. He understood that. That's something we can't understand, but we can know about it. That's what it is. It means we are not insignificant, and our significance is of a kind that is deep and takes tremendous chachma, Moshe Rabbeinu perceived what exactly that means. But it's not simply a psychological phenomenon. It's a reality before God. See, the person that's a shov, and that's what a Ram really means. You see, when Ram says that before he's Toik Vein and Nena, and then he says, and all the mitzvahs he does are worthless, he says, and then he says, but the moment he does tshuva, osa mitzvah makablan asam benachas v'simcha. Of course, all these derech moshel. What is the pasuk telling you? It means that we have a certain significance before God, that we can't imagine what it is, and we don't know what it is. Moshe Rabbeinu and Marin Avuah knew, but it's something far deeper, and something which is far more essential than our understanding can grasp. But it's a reality before God. We occupy a certain reality before God when we're shav b'tshuva. And really, the individual, that's the individual who is engaged in shuva Yisrael, adar Hashem alekecha, means he starts off at the ma'isa shuva, but then ma'at ma'at, he slowly starts moving up the ladder. So, and he reaches Ad Kisei HaKavod, then he becomes a certain kind of a different reality before God, you see. Now, in our Avas Hashem, when a person reaches that level, he should want that reality. He should want that reality. You understand what I mean? Because the person who is really on the level of Avas Hashem, and he's Oved as Hashem Mechachma, and he really has progressed. His reality is only the reality that God presented before him, and he wants that reality, and therefore he wants not just that he should be a shav, but he wants the reality of his position lefnei Hashem. You see, be tidbak. That's what it means. Be tidbak means that you'll have a very special position before God, a special reality before, a different kind of reality before God. See, one that no philosopher could ever guess or try to figure out. Not possible. Only Ma'ariv Avuah. That's the Soda Tshuva that Moshe Rabbeinu received at Sinai. You see, Hashem Hashem Kal Racham Achan. That's what he brought down in Yom Kippurim. So it means to say the true Oved Hashem is the one that recognizes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only reality, but that's the first step. The next step is, since that's reality, he is drawn to reality, and he's drawn to the reality of his gadulti v'iskadishti v'nodati l'nei goyim rabim, that the Maaseh Hashem should not be levatala, and he understands that that is the reality that he has to be tied to, and the reality of b'sidbak. The reality of the Shav himself has to be something that he desires, because that is, to him, the only true existence, the only true reality. See? And that's why really in the Torah you find that what is the, you see the Torah, in the end of the Torah, the Torah faces a difficult dilemma. What is the difficult dilemma? Because the one who was the Oved Hashem, par excellence, the one who was the true Oved Hashem, was Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Torah has to depict every aspect of his life. Every aspect of his life. But now we have a strange contradiction, because the Torah was given through Moshe, and now the Torah has to depict everything about Moshe Rabbeinu, including his patira, you see. So how could you accomplish that? How could that be accomplished? It seems like a tati desasri. That's the difficulty. But that's already a machlekes tanoim. Well, the last eight psukim written by Yeshua ben Nun, and it became gufo shel Torah because it had to be that every event in the Oved Hashem had to be recorded and had to be a part of Chamisha Chumshi Torah, or did he write a benavua? Bedema, Kosovo Bedema, he wrote a benavua. But that's why you enter upon that dilemma. But what is the depiction of Moshe Rabbeinu? The last, interesting, what is the depiction that the Torah gives of Moshe Rabbeinu in his last, in his very, very last moments? The Torah says that Vayal Moshe Me'arvos Mo'av El Harnevo, Rosh HaPisco. It's interesting, and you'll notice that the why is Moshe Rabbeinu the true Eved Hashem? Because the one thing which he wanted, he had to give up, and it always was something that he wanted, and he always something that he desired, but he subordinated his will to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's why you see all the time. Says, for instance, when he tells Klal Yisrael, he says all the time, he mentions that. He says, Pasuk says, Lo uchalod ben esmer shana v'yam lo uchalod lotzis v'lovo v'arashem omar elai lo savor asa yaden azeh. Repeated many times. Hashem lekecho v'fanecho. And ki ata tavos amazeh. And that's why in his last moments, you see that he was shown benavua. All his Moshe Rabbeinu was entitled to know his whole the last moments of his life. He was engaged in his shlichus, as we mentioned before, and the three aspects of his shlichus. But there was one more aspect that the Torah depicts for us, and that is that he was not able to. You see, the kol haTorah kula had to be mekuyim al yedei Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's why you have those three things, of course. And the eventual return of Klal Yisrael will be through Moshe Rabbeinu, through Parshas Hazino, through the Torah, all through Moshe Rabbeinu. But you understand that there was that. Why did he want to go into Eretz Yisrael? That's what Chazal said. He lechol mipiri Eretz Arach. He wanted to eat the fruit. No, it says Amar. He says mitzvos shatluyos ba'aretz yiskayim al yodi, because he knew that if it was niskayim al yodo, it would be a different future for Klal Yisrael. He knew that. You see, but unfortunately, he wasn't able to do it. But interesting, in the end of the Torah, it says, "Vayal Moshe Me'arvos Mo'av El Harnevo Rosh HaPisco Asher Pnei Rechav Ayareh Hashem Es Kol Oretz Es Agilor Adon Veis Kol Naftoli Ves Eretz Ephraim Menashe Veis Kol Eretz Yehuda Ara Yom Achron Ves Anege Ves Akikor Bikas Yirecho Ira Tamar Atzor." What is the Torah telling us over here? He sold the land, so well, what's the difference? It's nice, eh? Okay, I'm sure the topography didn't impress him. You see, so Chazal say, what did he see? He looked at the land, but when he looked at the land, he saw a Mara and a Vua. Each part of the land unfolded before his eyes a Mara and a Vua. What was the Mara and a Vua? It says, Hero is Kol Oretz. Rashi says, Hero is Kol Oretz Yisrael Bishalvasa. In times of peace, v'hametzikin ho asidin lios metzikin lo, you see, and also those that are going to torment Klal Yisrael. Adon, what's Adon? Hero b'nei don ovdim avod zora. Shenem av yikim alem b'nei don as a peso. Vero shimshin shosid lotzeis mimen l'mashiach. Veis kol naftali, hero arzo b'shalvosa v'chorbana. You see, and he goes on, he saw the battles of Dvorah and Barak, and Eretz Ephraim and Menashe, he saw the Artsim b'shalvosa b'chorbana. In short, what does Rashi say? Ad hayom ha'achron, not ad hayom ha'achron, but ad hayom ha'achron. See, so al tikri hayom ha'achron, al hayom ha'achron. Ha'or HaKadosh Baruch Hu kol ha'oros she'asidin li'ora li'Yisrael ad she'yichyu ha'mesim. He saw, that's what, when he looked at the land, every part of the land reflected a marin of all the ma'oros, all the events that are going to happen to Klal Yisrael till Chias HaMesim. What does that mean? That means that he was able to see exactly what his shlichus accomplished. He was entitled to see the reality of his shlichus. Now, unfortunately, and now you see why, if he hadn't been chote, and he would have been able to enter Eretz Yisrael, and mitzvos atluyos ba'aretz would be niskayim through him, so then all these things wouldn't have occurred. But, and that's why he was mispal so many times, you see. But last moments, he was able to see exactly his shlichus, all the maoros, all the events, all the events that were generated by it due to his shlichus, until the last detail. Ada yom acharon, you see. So that was really, what does that show you? He saw not the good things, only good things, bad things, the whole reality of his shlichus. What depicts, that was the Eved Hashem, that he was, in spite of the fact that it was the most difficult thing for him to feel that because of his chait, all these things happened, all these devaras and all the terrible things, but he was able to enjoy that reality and recognize that this is God's will, and that was his last moments before Patira. So the true Oved Hashem is the one that ultimately subordinates himself to the Ratzon Hashem, to God's will, and that's why his Patira really is his very Patira is a part of Gufa, must be a part of Gufa Sheltara. So the whole idea, that's the idea of tshuva. That's Shuvi Yisrael Adar Hashem Alekecha. It means that the person must reach the point where his will is in line with the will of the creator of the universe. You see? That is Adar Hashem Alekecha, Ma'at Ma'at. And then that starts off with tshuva, and it concludes with that level of existence for a human being. That level of existence of a human being depicted ultimately in its greatest form, Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay. Yeah, because if a person serves God in that way, he's not serving God, because there's no such God. He's not serving God. Yeah. Okay. But what the pasuk is saying is why? What's wrong with that? God doesn't need our service. So what's wrong with that? Is I'm nova v'lochacham. I'm nova v'lochacham. I mean that's the critique. That's where the Torah demands that our energies be placed in chachma. That's where the Torah demands our energies be placed. Not in a desire to engage in religious activity. Religious activity is avodah zara. It's a desire for chachma and for emes. That's where our energies must be placed. That's what the Azim is telling us. That's what Azim is telling us. And that's the Shira Lossid Lovo. That when they study this Shira, they'll see the Amita Satara, and not simply for the sake of seeing the Amita Satara, but for the sake of living the correct life and for the sake of Iskadilti Viskadishti, that this is God's will in the creation. That's Kala Tarakula. There it is. In Azim you have Kala Tarakula. From the crude errors and distortions and corruption to the highest level of Avodas Hashem. Yeah. Not because of them. Not because of any significance. The Ramban makes it clear. It's we have nothing. There's Chusavos, Toma, gone. We should be destroyed among the Umos and swallowed up. And we would be swallowed up because once we took the Torah, Bala Bashur. It has to happen. The only reason that we're not is not because of aschus at all. Only, like the Navi says, because Maaseh Hashem would become batel mevatel. That's the only reason. And it cannot become batel mevatel. That's the idea. And I say bo tidbak. It says be tidbak. It doesn't say, Ram doesn't say bo tidbak. It says be tidbak. Be tidbak. Bo tidbak would be a mitzvah. Then the Gemara says, that's not possible. What does it mean? What are you talking about? No. Bo tidbak means God is saying that you're in a certain position. If a person is a shav and he reaches that level, so then it's not a direct thing. It's a metaphysical reality. Okay. You can't create that metaphysical reality. You can't create that. It can't be a mitzvah. You can't create that metaphysical reality. That's correct. Well, let me put it this way. The Ad Hashem would not be possible. The question is a good question. Would a philosopher, after all, I mean, we believe in the correct philosophers, because Avraham Avinu's whole godless was his chachma, which means he was the true philosopher, and on his own he reached the level where Hakadosh Baruch Hu gave him the vor. Yeah, that's good. We don't underestimate that. It's a very, very big thing. To be a true philosopher is a very big thing. That's Avraham Avinu, the first true philosopher. So so that's a big thing. But there are certain things that the human mind cannot grasp, cannot work out because of its method of science, which is to follow trails. It can't hook into essences directly. And Nevuah, that's what Nevuah does. Nevuah is the bridge. Nevuah actually allows him to hook into ideas, you see, without following the scientific method of thinking. It's a different kind of a process. And God in his chesed gave us that gift. The HaKadosh Baruch Hu menabes b'nei Adam, a person on a certain level, God assists him in his knowledge and gives him the ideas without that process of scientific method. So there's a lot of so that information he couldn't get through scientific method, through just knowledge. So when you say Ad, the question is Ad Ad Hashem Elokecha and B Sidbuk can only be known through Nevuah. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu received the soda tshuva, and he came down Yom Kippur and gave it to Klal Yisrael. But even the Ad Ad Hashem Elokecha is not possible really without Nevuah. Because Yediyas Hashem without Nevuah is not possible. And only to a certain point. To a certain point. I shouldn't say at all, because Avraham Avinu recognized Avraham had Yediyas Hashem. But had Yediyas Hashem. But Nevuah is necessary in order for the Klal Yisrael to have a certain Yediyas Hashem that they'd never have without the Without Nevuah. Avraham Avinu is different. Avraham Avinu is different. It's true. It's an interesting thing because the Rambam says, that what is the big argument, and it's not just a question of Aristotle, but that's the argument ad hayom hazeh between the secular scientists and between us, and that is whether the universe is self-explanatory. You see, that's the scientists want it to be that way. But as science has unraveled, and that would mean that there could never be a Bereishis Bara, you see. And Yahadus is completely against that. And it's a different Yediyas Hashem if it's a Yesh Me'ayin or if it's not. It's a totally... The Rambam tries to explain in the Mor. He says one of the reasons, one of the main reasons he wrote the Mor was to show that people are foolish, they think, that if you don't believe in creation, you're denying God. He says that's absolutely stupid. So there's nothing to do with it because even without creation, so he says that's what Ram says. But the fact remains that God that is Bereishis Bara Yesh Me'ayin is different. It's a different concept of God. Now, interestingly enough, the Rambam says that there's no way to prove it, he says, logically. He says, logically, you can go either way. He says, we only know it through Nevuah, you see. But at the same time, he says, Avraham Avinu knew it. It's an amazing thing. Amazing thing. Yeah, it's amazing. You look at the way in the Hilchos Avodah Zarah, where he describes Avraham Avinu, he says he knew it, that he was a Yotzer Kol. He said, I don't remember exactly Lashon, but you check it out. But what does it mean? It means that a person, there can be a person with such great intuition that he can come to that. But on a logical basis, to really prove it is not possible. So the answer to your question is like this, that without Nevuah, we wouldn't know it. We wouldn't, so our Yediyas Hashem would be lacking, would be corrupt, would be lacking. But that no human being can do it, that we can't say, because Avraham Avinu was able to do it. So His fine-tuned mind and his intuition led him to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a Yotzer Kol and Yesh Me'ayin, you see. But in terms of logical demonstration, that you can't do. So the answer to the question is on two levels. Without Nevuah, we wouldn't have Yediyas Hashem, but it doesn't mean that no human being would be able to do it. Avraham Avinu was an exception. All right. Okay. So that's the Adar Hashem. That's the answer to the Adar Hashem Lekecha. But the B Sidbuk, that's not possible for anyone without Nevoah. That's a metaphysical phenomenon. That's not possible for anybody without Nevoah. That's why, I mean, the whole concept of Eretz Yisrael was only given to Avram for Nevoah. It's not a logical thing. A logical thing, a person figures such a thing out. It's not possible. That's B Sidbuk. That's the B Sidbuk. That this land belongs to this group, and their role in society, in the world, and in the world of society, I mean, that's only through Nevoah. Only through Nevoah. Okay. That's why even Avraham Avinu had to receive that through Nevoah. That was the first Nevoah. It was the Bris Bein Absarim. That was why? Because he couldn't know it without Nevoah. Okay, that's B'Sidbuk. B'Sidbuk, no human being can know. Okay, it's a makam. That's not for us. In other words, Elokeinu, Elokei Avosein, Elokei Avraham, Elokei Yisrael, Yaakov. It's true. It means that is Shvacha Shel Makom. It's not talking about the Gula Asida. It's talking about the ideas that he is the Elokei Avraham. He is Elokei Avraham. He's the one that Avraham, the God that Avraham recognized, and he's the God that gave his Hashgacha to Avraham, Melech Ozer, Mashiach, Magen Avraham. That's Shvacha Shel Makom. That's not talking about Lasid Lavo. That's a different thing. But what I wanted to conclude, that if you we started off with the last moments of Moshe Rabbeinu's life. And just to, after we went through the whole thing, to just conclude and to sum it up, I would say that you could sum it up three things. One thing was he took care of the immediate future, you see, and that was with the Klal Yisrael and with the Yeshua Ben Nun. And the second thing was that he also guaranteed the ultimate future, the Bayom Ahu. He guaranteed that as well. And the third thing he did was he gave them the ongoing present or future, which was the mitzvah of Hakel, which was he gave them the mitzvah that was the constant representation in halachic form of Maimed Har Sinai. You see, so that was the ongoing present. He covered the entire realm of the existence of Klal Yisrael. Okay. Another thing I want to mention, somebody asked a question which was a good point. And the question was, insofar as Yesh Me'ayin, you see. Now the thing is that I mentioned, I said a Yachid like Avraham Avinu, the Rambam says, was able to arrive at that on his own. But then I mentioned, but most people cannot, it's not possible, even for a great Chacham will get caught unless he has, without evidence, astronomical evidence, which was Doros. I mean, now it's a different. Now it's different. Now there is astronomical evidence, but in those days there wasn't. So this question was a very big question, and person can't arrive at it, can't arrive at the conclusion properly. So what I want to say is like this: that really that's why we are the Am, the Chonom Am Yachadim Shemo. That we are the ones that miyachet shemo, and yichet shemo means yesh meayin. So we are the only ones that can be an umma that's miyachadim shemo. It's not possible. It's not just that we are the umma, and there could be another one, but it just doesn't happen to exist. We are the only ones that are capable of doing it, because any statement that we make in the metaphysical area has to be from Das. It can't be just a statement that has no value. A person just says things because he thinks, he imagines it that way. That's worthless. So it has to be from Das. So from Das, it's only possible one of two ways. Either like a great Yochid like Avraham Avinu, you see. But for an entire nation, that's not possible. And even if they just accept what he says, so it's so they accept it. So it's not out of Das. That's just out of Hechra. So that's no good. So that's why you needed Nevuah and Maimed Har Sinai, you see, in order to have an Ummah that's Miyachet Shemo, you see. And that's our identity. What is it? That is our identity, the Am that's Miyachet Shemo. And that's only possible through Nevoah, to have an Am. Because that means the whole Am does it out of Das, because they know that the Nevoah is correct. They don't understand on their own, you know, all the knowledge of Yichud Hashem, but they know the fact. See, so that's that I think is something that really demonstrates the uniqueness of Klal Yisrael. I mean, it's Yichud Hashem. So we are the only ones that could be miyachet shemo out of chachma. Okay. The Gemara says a new modaflam. Let's start with that. Anyways, lam tesmin alaf tanar banan. So it says al tatamu b'hem v'meisim b'am. Adam metame lam tesmin alaf nyuma. Adam metame asma maat metame naso harbe. Momato metame naso momaylo. Bolo, I know the damage is happening. Bolo mazeh. Ba'olam hazeh, metamen asal olam haba. Tan rabbanan. Viskadishtim v'isim gedoshim. Odo mekadosh atzma ma'at, mekadshim asal harbe. Nomato, mekadshim asal mamayla. Ba'olam hazeh, mekadshim asal olam haba. You see? So Rashi says, viskadishtim ma'at v'isim gedoshim harbe. Ha'boli tahir mesayin asal. That's what the Rambam is quoting. So you see, everybody learns this chazal to mean that a person that wants to do tshuva, a person that starts to go in the derech tov, so or wants to go in the derech tov, he's a boli tayar. So then he has siyata d'shmaya. The Rambam does not learn that way, absolutely not, because the Rambam apparently held that if that were the case, it would be an interference with the person's bechira. See? And it's against one of the Rambam's yesodos, one of his principles. See, mahu zeh. So that's what the Rambam means. You see, it says mahu zeh shomer davar tov yosher shomer ken yorach toim b'derech. Okay, yeah, zeh sheshalach neviim lohem modim darkei Hashem u'machzir naso b'shuva. That we said yesterday, right? So that means he doesn't interfere with the bechira. That's what the Rambam's saying. He sends the What's the question, Mosh? What's the question? Oh. So he sends the Nevi'im, see? Then he says, V'od, this was the thing got stuck on yesterday. V'od shenasan b'hem koach lumodu lohovim. What does that mean? What does it mean? Shemida zu b'chol adam. Shekolzman shehu nimshach b'darkei ha'chochma v'atzedek mis'ava lohen v'rodef osam. So he says, so he's not giving you anything then. That's you. You see? That was our question. That's you. That's a natural thing. I was thinking about it this morning. You see, the Humashama Razal, Bolatai Masayan also. Kloma. Not that he has an extraneous push from the Ashgacha. No, he says, Kloma, Yimotse Atzmo Nezar Aladova. He'll come out that he'll find himself he was a Nezar. Because it's the nature of man that when he pursues Derech HaEmes, he's Misavela. That's what Rambam says, see? He says, amazing Rambam. You know, he's completely different than anybody, and the reason is clear, because he would hold that's not true, that God does not help you in your bechira, doesn't help you in bechira, no such thing. So he says, well, what does it mean? It means that calls man shu nimshach b'darkei achach malatzedik misavol lehem v'rodef osam. You see, so what was the Rambam saying? So I was thinking about this morning. Pshat is like this. What he's saying is like this. You see, this Rambam over here, these three halachas, beautiful halachas, what he's telling you is the Olam HaBechira. He's describing for you God's creation of the Olam HaBechira and what God's Chachma dictates in that realm. The last point is like this. The last point says, why does the Amel say Tov? Tov Yashar Hashem Al Kain Yora Chatoyim Baderech. He's saying that David HaMelech is saying like this. He's describing the way God created the world of the Ashgacha, that He made man in a way that when he moves towards the good, he has a libidinous attachment to it. That's something which is a paradox. It's a paradoxical thing. I have never seen anybody explain it. But it's a paradoxical thing that a person can be in love with ideas and in love with emes, and his libido will actually move towards it. and he'll be completely engaged in it, and he'll have a desire and a she'ifa, like the Rambam explains it in Perek Yud. It is true that that a person can be that way, but the Rambam says it's only if the person is constantly in it. He says won't happen if you just learn occasionally. See, he says Dover Yadu Bar Shein Avos Kadosh Baruch Hu Niksheres B'Liv Shlodem Ad Sheyishge Bo Tamid K'Roy V'Yazov Kol Ma Shalom Chutz Mayim. It has to be constant thing. You see, So you understand. So the thing is, so the Rambam is what the Rambam is telling you is like this. Our question was, that's you. So what is Pasuk telling you? No, that's not you. You is the soul. See, the soul, it functions in this existence in connection with the body. But it's Tov Hashem. God is Tov Yashar Hashem is describing how he allowed the soul to be active in this existence. And he allowed it to be active because it's an amazing thing that if a person exercises his Bechira, so then he gets an additional, all of a sudden an additional surge comes in, and now his libido becomes libidinously attached to the world of the good. You see, not just in learning, but in yosher and everything. The person can love justice. That means that his psychic energy can become attached to it. That's an amazing phenomenon. It's known in the world as in Plato. It's known as sublimation. The world sublimation different means different. Psychological sublimation means something. I mean, they use it in this sense too, but it's completely different than ordinary sublimation. Of course, ordinary sublimation is like an artist is a sublimated person, but that means that the instinctual is symbolically represented on the canvas. See, that's an artist. That's sublimation, which is of the same kind. You see, it's sublimation of kind into a higher, more sophisticated expression. But this sublimation is sublimation which is qualitatively different. It's sublimating energy into a world of science and ideas and thought. That's a different kind of a phenomenon. So the Rambam says, and God created that so that the soul can function. So once the person makes that decision, the Bechira, he gets a free surge. A free matana, and that is that now he's a shoef achar ha'emes. You see, that's what the Rambam is saying. So the Rambam says, and he says, and that's what it means. Habol etayr masayinos. He says nimtzo nezer. That's chesed Hashem. That's tov yashar Hashem. So there, David HaMelech was simply describing how God created the world of the bechira, the world of bechira. He created it in such a way, with his chachma, he created it in a way that it's tov v'yosher, that the person doesn't have to constantly keep on making choices. You see, but he makes one choice, and then he reaps the benefit automatically. He's on automatic. You see, it's an amazing thing. That's what I'm saying. So basically, these three Rambams describe. The world of Bechira. It's an amazing thing. The first one shows you that, and by the way, that the Pasuk he asked me yesterday, Baruch Hu, Mi'er Kodesh, Ve'inenu. Yeah. So the first thing is, the first Rambam in Gimel is describing the world of Bechira, and it's showing you that God created man, that there's a certain interaction between him and the external world. That's the external world. And that interaction permits him constantly to be a free agent, to make a choice, you see. And if it should happen that but the determinant is really the internal, the essential determinant is always the internal, because it's Bechira. So if the internal determines that he's a Rasha Gamor, and that's the fate of his soul, he's been totally completely absorbed in evil, so then he's saturated with Ra. So then that's the external world will not change. God will have a Hashgacha that's Yom Hashgachah, because that's justice. That he had his choice, and that's it. You see, that's the first one. And this pasuk, Yisalach Hanachas Elokim, is a raya for it. Because what is it saying? It's saying that God created man to live in a certain kind of environment where he has a free agent, you see. But the Dor HaMabul was so evil that it didn't provide the setting for Bechira anymore. And that's why Chanoch, who was a tzaddik, in that society he would have succumbed. And that's why the pasuk is telling you that, because it's about to tell you that they're going to be destroyed. Because God cannot, and that's really the reason why they were destroyed, because it was a society that didn't allow for Bechira anymore. So that's the pasuk. V'yisalech Chanoch HaSolakim, you see, V'einenu. And then, like Rashi says, he's not here to fulfill his years. Man, it's perfect why it's written over there, because it wants to show you that that's the evil of the society. Society doesn't allow man to exist in the world of Bechira. And even though he was a tzaddik, was Kal Lashav, he would have easily been destroyed. I mean, what does that mean? He was a good person. How is he easily destroyed? Because the environment was so evil that he wouldn't be able to exercise his Bechira properly. You see, that fits in beautifully why it tells you that why it tells you about Chanoch right over here. You see, but that's the first Rambam. The first Rambam deals with Adam, his Bechira, and the relationship between him and the external world. That's why, and namely that there must be an essentially his determinant must be an indeterminate. That's another Chazal also. Gemara and Avodah Zarah. Gemara says that Yesir Akiva, famous, and I think it's a Mishnah, right? It's a Mishnah. They ask them, why is it that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah succeed? They have their baths and their things and their magic, and it works. So first the Gemara says, chance. And it is true. They say the miracles of Lourdes are less than happen spontaneously.
Right.
And people believe in it. But that's what the Gemara says. It says, Choloyim Royim V'Nehmanim. What does nemona mean? What does it mean? Nemo means it's loyal to its nature, and when it's time to leave, it leaves. You see, so it's coincidental. But then the Gemara says, but we do see sometimes things that are beyond the coincidental. So the Gemara says, Hakadosh Baruch Hu sometimes doesn't let them change. He that's the same idea. That means that if they were going to change, he only wants to change if they really change their das. But not because of external reasons. That's the same idea. That Akash Baruch guarantees the Bechira vis-a-vis Adam and the external world. That's the first Rambam. The second Rambam is that a person, is that in the realm of Bechira, a person can remove roadblocks. There are events that a person may do in their lifetime that can cause roadblocks to the Derech Hashem. By the way, it's beautiful what Ram says. That what is he looking for? Harini Hashem Darkecha, Al Yimneuni Chatoi Derech Hamas Shemimena Eida Darkecha. Two things he says: Darkecha v'Yichud Shmecha. That's the Ram. Darkecha v'Yichud Shmecha. That's all there is to know. See, that's all there is. So the thing is that your Chatoyim can set up roadblocks to the essential avenue of Bechira, which is Derech Hashem and Yichud Shmo. So that if the person's mispalel, so the relationship, his proper attitude, relation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you see, the word, I'm using the word relation homonymously, but is something that can remove, that God will remove the roadblocks. That's the second halacha. Second halacha. The third halacha is the area of how God created the internal world of the Bechira. The internal world of the Bechira. The first one is the external world of the Bechira. The last one is the internal world of the Bechira. He created it in such a way, that's Tov V'Yashar Hashem. It means he created it in such a way that man, when he... In other words, God helps him. He helps him. Actually, there's two ways. Actually, one way is through Nevi'im. That's external. That he sends the Nevi'im. I mean, that's without the Nevi'im, we'd have nothing. The world would be gone. So he sends the Nevi'im. That's one. And two, he makes man's nature such that it's the perfect place for the soul. So that the soul, when it exercises Bechira, it enjoys the psychological. It reaps the benefit of enjoying the psychological. And that's what the Rambam. These are these three Rambams, really, beautiful. These three Rambams they really give you the whole world of the Bechira. The Bechira in terms of the external world, the internal world, and insofar as relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an amazing thing. But I want you to know one thing, that the Rambam didn't hold that this is just philosophy. The Rambam held that if you don't understand this, can't do tshuva. Because tshuva is based upon das. That's what the Rambam held, all these prakim. And it's unfortunate that the it's unfortunate that I saw that some achronim they recommend you should read this sefer, that sefer, good sfarim. I'm not saying I have nothing against the sfarim, but they if you don't see the Rambam in there, it's very bad. The Rambam's got to be and the Ramban says about the Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, he says unbelievable. He said what the Ram did is masterpiece. He says it was just what was tshuva before the Ram came along. He says isolated my Mori Chazal. He said the Rambam's genius took it, put it all together in a whole system. Ramban was amazed at the Ram's Hilchos Tshuva. So it is a big mistake, not to learn and the Rambam also without that there's no tshuva really. If you don't know these ideas, then there's no tshuva. That's why he perikyud, for instance. What does perikyud have to do with tshuva? He talks about person that's Oei Vashem and what it means Avas Hashem. The answer is if you don't have that idea, how are you going to do tshuva? Tshuva means Lashuv al Hashem. You have to have das, not these 10 prakim. Okay? That's true. Mendy's mentioning something. It's a pasuk, actually. It's a pasuk in Kehelis. The Gama Nefesh Latamol. A person can never be satisfied with Olam Hazeh. It's just intrinsically, that's what Melech Ozer.
That's the definition of Ozer.
Okay, time Messiah, yeah. There's no doubt. The Ram Shad of time Messiah says a completely different shot. That's the concept. That's what the Ram is saying. It's very similar to what he says, to what the Ram says in the in Perek Yud. That he says, V'keitzer yu'ava, aruyu she'yevas ad Hashem ava gadoli yisera azam ma'od. Here means romantic love. She'ein daito pnuya me'avas oso isha. See? V'hu shoga batomid. Ben b'shifto ben b'kumo. Ben b'shoshu ochol v'shosa. He's constantly in love. That's what he says. It means a libidinous attachment to the world of Chachmas Hashem. That's what it means.
And
a psychological thing. That's what the Ram says here. That's because Tov Yashar Hashem, that God created man in a way that his libido can attach to the world of ideas and be totally satisfied, more satisfied than if he was in a real libidinous relationship, which is a sublimated kind of a thing where there's a lot of unpleasure. You see, Ovir experiences total pleasure, and that phenomenon I don't know if it could be explained. Like I said, never saw an explanation for it. But that's what the Rambam is pointing to in this halacha. It's an amazing thing.
Is that Avas Hashem?
Let me put it this way. The Rambam is not talking about it. Avas Hashem is when that thing reaches its ultimate state. You see, but even less, a person might not be on the level like the Rambam's describing in Perek Yud, but he could still be an individual that has a libidinous attachment to the world of ideas. That means that he's completely satisfied with him, with being in that world. That's all he needs. He doesn't need anything else. Complete satisfaction. Very happy. Extremely happy.
What?
Avas Hashem, yeah, same category, but it's the ultimate.
Right, yeah.
It's the ultimate. The first, yeah, this is the first. This is the
same this. Right? Is there another realm in
Avas? That's true. I'm saying over here he's showing you the difference between Ram over here and Ram Perek Yud is Ram Perek Yud is giving you a description of the full blown state. Over here he's just telling you about the mechanics of it. The mechanics of it. You understand what I'm saying? He's showing you the mechanism that God gave man, such a mechanism, even on a smaller level. If a person that follows Chachma, he has, and not just Chachma itself, he says, but even the Derech HaYashar. You see, because he says, She calls man shenim shel b'dachei ha-chachma v'atzedek. You see, d'achei ha-chachma v'atzedek. So it means he loves tzedek also. He has a love for it. It means a libidinous attachment to it. That's Tov Yashar Hashem. It's an amazing phenomenon. It's a libidinous attachment to reality, to the world of reality. I don't believe it. I mean, that's Yisodin Yadus. Yisodin Yadus. It's attractive to the, I mean, stark reality is not what is attractive to the libido. Libido makes choices, pulls things out that are in line with its own desires. But reality is neutral, completely neutral. Sometimes it's against, sometimes it's for, but to have a love of reality, it means the person loves reality no matter, even though it goes against his inner trends and desires, and he has a love for that. How is that possible?
That's the soul affects the libido, is that what you're
saying? And I'm just saying the Rambam points it out on the Tov Yoshem. I just don't know. I mean, obviously it's Chachmas Hashem. I'm just saying, I don't think anyone has ever explained it. Yeah. Very good. Very good. Yeah. That's a very good. Excellent. Yeah. That's very good, Ellie. Ellie bring right for something we said. Was it yesterday, the day before? That the Ravid says, I said, I mentioned it, the Ravid says that the part of Shuvah should be mizbayish, public abuse. So the Rambam comes back to it very nicely, in Perek Zayin L'Chachas, that Bali Shuvah Dakhmi is shvon v'anav b'yosa. M'cherfos anachsilim ma'asem r'shalom emeshi yisa osa kach kach. Al yagish len el shom smechem yerem shezus chuslam she calls man shein boshim im asem she over ne chlom mehem schusam merubo ma losam miskadelas. Unbelievable. Yeah, that's true. That's right. That's the rabbit. It's bayish, because that means that the why is chusam miskadelas ma losam miskadelas, because the whole idea of tshuva is that the only reality is lifnei akel baruch hu. Nothing else matters. And this pushes him before the true reality, away from the imitation, the false reality. Called experience embarrassment. The person, a normal person, will always experience embarrassment, but he will think to himself, "I don't care. That's it. I don't care. I know that this is not reality." But not to experience embarrassment at all, not to have any emotions, is not possible for a human being. Last time Moshe Rabbeinu became a Sechel Nifrat, but...
No, but we see it's beneficial.
Well, Boshti, Boshti means... The word Boshti means that the real Busha.
Yeah.
The Busha Lefnei Hashem is that he realizes how stupid it was. Stupidity, the idiocy, it's embarrassing that I could have done that. That's the real real busha, philosophical busha. The reason why he goes on and he asks the question from the two questions actually. One is from V'komom Azev Zonach Re'alei Necharetz. That's in Vayelech, and the other one was Vavod Nivino Asam Arba Me'as Shana. Okay, it's because the Perek is about Psukim that would tend to contradict the idea of Bechira. You see, so that's really, that's his overt purpose. But in doing that, in answering those questions, he revealed three realms of the Bechira. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that answers, answers your question. Kapach has a separate halacha. Halacha it off. It's broken. Yeah, he has 11 of them. Aleph, Beis, Gimel, Dalet. Yep. So, you see that? It's a good thing we didn't try to answer that.
Yeah.